Good morning, everyone. Morning and good morning to you. Taylor Motter here with us today. What time is it in Korea?
It is 11:26 p.m.
Damn, so basically you're just essentially in American time, you're just waking up.
Yeah, it'd be about 10:30 where I am. So yeah, I'd be getting my day going.
Oh, that's right, because you're on the East Coast. See, I'm on the West Coast, so it's 7 o'clock and I was like, I gotta get up, and I don't know if you noticed, but my hair's super long now. It's not your length of long, but I wanted to make sure I at least did something with it before I got on Zoom.
Oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah. So, Taylor, you are in Korea. You are in. You are playing for the Kiwoom. The Kiwoom.
Heroes.
Heroes.
Yes.
A concept that I'm trying to get a hang of is, how come teams are not named after cities in Korea?
So what I've come to understand, which is true, but I still don't understand the full aspect of why we're different. Every team is owned by a large company. So Samsung owns a team. LG owns a team.
Kia owns a team, right?
Kia owns a team. There's a team called Lotte out here. It's like an amusement park, and then it's like a Walmart Supercenter type thing. Yeah. There's a team with called Doosan, but I don't know what Doosan is over here yet. Yeah. So it's we're the only personally owned team.
Interesting. Okay, so you don't get all the Samsung perks. You don't get a Kia when you get there.
No, we were Nexon before.
Okay.
And they sold the team to the private owner now, and there's a lot of stuff going on with our private owner. That's for a different interview. But yeah, we're the only team that is not owned by a corporation.
Okay. So you've taken an unconventional path to get to Korea. Obviously, you've played in the Dominican League. That's very well documented. You were with Toros, correct?
Yes. I've played for a couple teams down there, but okay. I guess Toros would be the biggest one, yeah.
Toros is the biggest one. And unfortunately, you suffered an injury there that ended your season very prematurely. What was that?
Took a fastball to the nose down there. Like, I'd never seen it coming, so it was tough to wear that one.
That's crazy. So you've also played in the major leagues. That's how I met you. You were with Seattle for a little bit. How crazy is that journey? Because everybody thinks that once you get to the major leagues, you made it. And you're going to be there and you're going to hang there. Or that if you fall out of that it's over. Yet you've managed to truly make a name for yourself. And you're in Korea. You're playing baseball. You're doing something that the rest of the world wishes they could do right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I heard, I guess the first part of that, I heard my whole career, you know, you're a utility player. When you make it to the big leagues, you just got to play defense and you'll stick. You know, I heard it my whole career. I heard it when I made it to the big leagues, you know, just play defense, hit a little bit and you'll stick. Didn't pan out that way, obviously. I guess I didn't hit a little bit, but ended up, you know, taking my humble pill and taking what I needed to take to get my career back on track to where I feel like I should personally be right now. I feel God has kind of shifted my career path to a place where I'm 30 years old. I can't take a year off and I get to play baseball right now. And, you know, I'm super grateful for everything that I've gone through and everything that I've been told in my career and everything that's happened to me in my career. And to be here is, you know, awesome.
I've heard from a lot of people that people often go to other places to play baseball in order to come back to America. But one of the things that I've noticed, especially with you, is that you're always willing to go somewhere else to play. And that is such a refreshing take, because MLB is, for lack of a better word, the pinnacle of baseball. But baseball is baseball. Baseball is people playing the game. And it seems like you truly enjoy that aspect. And you don't see baseball as your job, but you see baseball as your avenue to to truly be happy and also, you know, make a living?
Yeah, I had someone ask me that question the other day, you know, what about the fans, you know, and honestly, we're here as performers. We're not here because we're here to get paid. You know, some guys are, I take that back. Some guys are here to get paid and feed their family. I mean, I'm definitely partaking in part of that because I needed an income to help feed my family as well. But, you know, we're performers and I love playing in front of fans. I love being in front of people. I love putting a smile on my face, strapping my cleats up and going out and playing this game. I've done it in, you know, several countries, Dominican, Venezuela, Mexico, America. Now I'm venturing to Korea, and the baseball language never changes. The language in the country may change, but baseball never changes. People are still smiling. People are still having a good time. People are still messing around with each other. And that's one thing I love. Granted, it's a little bit different over here than my Latino friends. You know, we like to joke around, have a good time. It's a little bit different of a culture and game and how you get ready for the games and things like that. And here it's a little bit more, you know, respect your elders and you know, those kind of things, and just the way they've been brought up playing this game. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, man, baseball is baseball, and I love this game, and I think that's one thing I've been able to show everybody is I play anywhere, everywhere, anytime. You know, I just want to play baseball till I literally can't anymore.
You spoke of your family. Melissa's on her way to Korea. How hard has it been not having your significant other there with you in this incredible transition that you're making? Because when you go to the Latin speaking countries, you are very adept to working with Latinos. Like I've noticed that you make an effort to speak Spanish when you can. You make an effort to make everybody feel welcome. Yet now you are in a position where you're the outsider.
Yeah. You know, when I've played in the Latin American countries, it was always my goal to show these guys that I really love being here. I really want to play this game. I really love the way they play the game. And that's why I got along with guys in the clubhouse that I still talk to today, Cano, Cruz, you know, guys like this. When I was down in Dominican this past year, Cano's coming to, you know, the team that I played for, which is his team down there. And he's come to say, what's up, you know, if I want to go out to dinner, you know, things like that, things that I've created good friendships through my time with Seattle and through the Latin American country, the guys that I've stayed in touch with. And it's great. Not having Melissa here has been tough because this isn't just I'm down in the Dominican. I'm a 2-hour flight away. You know, I'm 12, 13 hours away. And with all the coronavirus stuff going on, and this is the fourth time we've tried to get her here. So finally it's working out, and we're still on the fence about trying to get her not to go to a government facility to do quarantine. Hopefully she'll come to the apartment, do the quarantine. But they just had another big outbreak down the road in Itaewon, it's called. So it's getting tougher and tougher. But, you know, when you experience – Melissa's been in Dominican a couple times. She got to experience the life. Now I want her to experience life in Korea too, because it is beautiful.
Doodles is not going to Korea.
It's not. It's not.
And I know that's I was speaking with Melissa, and she was mentioning that was a bit rough. Doodles is your dog.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful dog.
Thanks.
How hard is it to be completely detached from your entire family?
You know, you understand a little bit because you see what everyone goes through, but some of these people who sit behind computers and want to talk about, you know, the way we play, or, you know, we had a bad game today or something like that. People really don't understand what really goes on behind scenes. Not only do we have to show up and do a job, you know, even though it's a game, I love doing, it's a job. I put in my hours and a lot of them, and it never stops. But I also have to deal with stuff that's going on at home, 12 hours away, 13 hours away. So it's not like I can go home at night and cuddle with my babe in bed and know that the next morning I'm just gonna go work a job and come back and see her and have dinner with her and go to sleep again. You know, I'm 12 hours away. So I've spent, this will be like the third month I've spent away from her. So don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to play the small violin here and try and get people to feel bad for me, because I signed up for it. This is what I signed up for, and I want to do that. But people also need to, before they start realizing, you know, how harsh they are on some of us and stuff like that, know that, you know, we do spend lots of time away from our families, and this is a job for us.
Yeah, I often liken baseball players to migrant workers. You're away from your core family. Some make it well enough that they can relocate their family, but a lot of you guys are seasonal workers. You work, and seasonal worker in a sense that when we see you, it's seasonal. I know you work out during the entire year, but it makes it hard. And you know, being the son of immigrants, being the friend of immigrants, growing up in California, I learn a lot about people who all of a sudden go away for a while and end up working and then end up coming back. You are in a unique position, though, that you are now going to be looked at as somebody who can be a role model for kids who have challenges, especially during this year. What message do you have for the graduating class of 2020?
You know what? Now that you've seen everything that's going on with this pandemic, I think as a whole, everyone can get through pretty much anything. This is going to be hopefully the worst thing they see in their lifetime. To everyone who has lost someone, to everyone who knows somebody that has lost someone, you know, we're going to get through this and, you know, just keep battling the lights at the end of the tunnel and just know that things are going to get brighter in the future for everyone.
I'm here with Taylor Motter from the Key Womb Heroes. What is your mascot?
You know, I don't even know because I haven't seen him yet. So that is a great question.
That is a good question.
I know it's some sort of little hero action figure type thing, mm-hmm. but I have only seen him like on paper. So.
And what's up with the dancers? Like I've been watching some baseball because obviously I crave baseball. And I was like, I saw some people were like holding hands and dancing together and I don't get it.
It's, you know what, it's, I compare it to the Dominican a little bit. So the Dominican have cheerleaders too. Venezuela has cheerleaders, Mexico has cheerleaders too. But it's not as intense as this. The Dominican cheerleaders, Venezuelan cheerleaders, all these Latin American countries, they get up, perform on the dugout every three innings or something like that, and then they cheer when people score.
Okay.
I kid you not, every one of our offensive players at home has a cheer song that they sing. So we don't do walkout songs here. They create a cheer song for us. And they sing the cheer song from the first pitch to the last pitch of your at bat. And they do that 1 through 9 all game.
Huh. Okay. What's your song? Do you know it yet?
I know it's so in Korean, my name translates most closely to motor.
Yeah.
And so my song is kind of like the song that I got popular in Dominican with, Botando Chipa, and it starts off with the motorcycle noise here. So it's kind of like being in my second home, so it's kind of funny.
That's pretty cool. One serious baseball question. What's your sentiment behind the TV networks pushing the Korean Baseball League, but in a way, I feel like it's disrespectful that they focus on the bat flips and they just want to talk about it so much. And it's actually insulting. It's insulting for me. Obviously, you know, you got to be careful what you say. I can say it because I think it cheapens who you are as a baseball player, but it also cheapens the way they play the game. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I've never really cared for people who bat flip because I just think it's funny. I don't think it's offensive. I think if you don't want me bat flipping, maybe you shouldn't let me hit the ball.
Yeah.
But does it cheapen that experience for you guys, or is that something that you've heard within your dugout?
You know, the Korean guys aren't really talking about the ESPN thing. It's more it's on a bigger scale for us American guys who are finally. You know, maybe we need to get looked at again, or maybe we need people to see us, or it's good for our families to be able to watch us play baseball. You know, these guys really don't know how the ESPN thing might help some of these guys get posted. We have a couple guys on our team that are 21 years old that are studs, absolute studs. And it's good for them to get their name out there and have these scouts watch it. But on the other hand, they do that stuff, and that's just culture here. You know, here they do it, and when it's not a home run, they do it on a hard hit ball single, they'll bat flip. It is just part of their culture. So I understand a little bit of making not fun, but at laughing at these bat flips, because some of them are ridiculous. I agree. They are hilarious and they're ridiculous. But you also have to flip the script on, I'm not saying I'm the most cultured player in the world, but I've played in a lot of countries, and this is the way they do it. If they went to the Dominican and did this, they would wear one in the ear hole. But that's a whole different culture thing. So I've grown to just sit at third base and hope I don't get hit with a bat flip, you know, and kind of laugh it off. But the ESPN guys, you know, there's a bunch of other things that I'm afraid of happening. Some of these guys choke up on the bat so high that, you know, they're almost at the barrel, but that's just how these guys are. The pitchers don't throw as hard. You know, that's another thing that these guys could do. You know, there's just a lot of things that ESPN could chalk up to try and make this worth people watching and maybe make a laugh a little bit, do this or whatever. But those are a few of the things that, you know, baseball is baseball. It's just a different culture here.
What has been the hardest thing to adjust in terms of food?
I want to say this. I know. The temperature of food served. The spiciness I can get along with. The spiciness isn't that bad. You know, when something's hot, it comes out red because that's the color of all their hot spices and stuff here, and it is what it is. When they serve soup to you at a table or things like that, it is still boiling when it shows up to you. And these Koreans just are used to it, and they slurp it down like it's no big deal. And they ask me why I'm sitting there waiting or putting ice cubes in my soup. They look at me sideways.
Is there somebody on the team who you've really taken a liking to and somebody that you want to emulate your Korean game after?
Yeah, there's a couple guys on our team. I wouldn't say emulate my game after, because they're younger, and I kind of feel like I've transferred my thought process as a player to being the guy who looked up to everyone in the locker room, to being a guy who's trying to set an example for everyone in the locker room. I personally have changed a lot, and you know, that's one thing I can see myself doing is trying to show these guys, you know, the right way, because I've done both. I've done right way, I've done wrong way. We've all been there, done that, you know. But guys that I really get along with in the clubhouse, obviously the American guys, our shortstop, our right fielder, and then Byung-ho Park's on our team, guy who played for the Twins a little bit. He's another guy that I get along with real well.
That's great. That's great to hear. Well, I'm going to wrap this up so you can go to bed, because it is midnight in your time. But how do we follow you on social media?
So my Instagram is at TaylorMotter7. No, my Instagram is at TaylorMotter. My Twitter is at TaylorMotter7.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. As always, I'm always on your corner. You know that. And I'm excited. And when are you guys going to be on TV?
Our first ESPN game, it could be our only, is May 17th.
May 17th. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay up, because that game doesn't come on until like 2 a.m., I think.
I think that's an earlier game, though. If I'm not mistaken, I think the 17th is a Sunday, which means we would play at 2:00
day
p.m.
game. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to watch you play. I really enjoy that you're actually being more social on social media now. So that's a good thing. Please keep that up.
Absolutely.
I'll talk to Melissa about it. But more than anything else, take care of yourself. We appreciate your time, and I appreciate you as a human, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jose. I really appreciate it, man.
All right, brother.